There are many things in life that are overrated. And I think you, the older you get, you start realizing that things that people value and put great premium on maybe don't matter as much as you might have once thought. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says in verse 10, "He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with what? Nor he that loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity." A lot of people, particularly in Western culture in the United States, spend a lot of their time seeking riches, seeking money. And the Word of God declares that even when you get it, that it's not satisfying. You know, some people spend their whole life pursuing the dollar and then realize towards the end of their life that it really didn't add up to much. But compare this with what it says in the 107th Psalm. Psalm 107 in verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And this is a phrase that comes up throughout this psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he, verse 9, satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with what? Goodness. You know, basically, the things of the world don't satisfy. They might entice, they might bring temporary pleasure, but they don't satisfy genuinely. But the things of God do. You know, some of us spent some time searching, and I know in my high school, college years, and even after that, spent a lot of time looking in a lot of diverse places, thinking I was going to find something, and I found a lot of things that basically didn't add up to much. But man, when you get to God's Word, and God's Word starts living in your heart, and you start believing what God says, it's very, very satisfying. It says, "He satisfies the hungry soul." You know, "They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled." So there are many things that people pursue that really are overrated, but the things of God are not. And one of the things of God that is not overrated by any means is being in good health. And all it takes is to fall out of good health to realize that. Look at the further into this psalm, Psalm 107. Verse 19, it says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their," what? "Trouble." You know, sometimes people that neglect the Lord remember him when they get in trouble. You know, basic prayer of man, "Help!" And then it says, "And he saved them out of their," what? "Distresses." You know, when people cry unto God, regardless of what they have been doing, he listens, he hears. God is able to deliver people out of their distresses. But look at verse 20. It says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their," what? "Destructions." You know, deliverance is directly tied to God's word. So is healing. Healing comes from God's word. God sent his word and did what? Healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. So tonight we're going to look at the Word of God is healing. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Many things that are declared in God's Word, but certainly the greatest of God's declarations is the declaration that he makes of himself. Of who he is. And a lot of things you can get to know from the Word, but the greatest thing you can get to know is God. And praise the Lord, he had the Word written so that we could know him. And he describes himself in detail. He describes what he's about. He describes who he is. And he's so multivariegated. He's so incredibly able and diversified and everything that you could possibly think about the goodness of God, that it takes multiple descriptions of himself so that we start to get how great he is. You know, how great thou art. We sang about it earlier. But in this record, in the Exodus, it says in verse 23, the children of Israel came to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called what? Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? You know, they're out in the wilderness. They don't have good water to drink. That's a very serious situation. What makes it even more serious is them murmuring against Moses. So they say, what shall we drink? And he, Moses, cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Therefore he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that, what, heals thee. This is literally one of God's names that he declares himself to be in the Bible. I am the Lord that heal thee. Hebrew Jehovah Rapha. One of God's great redemptive names. Him describing himself to us of what he's about. Our God is the God that heals. He's the God that heals you and me. And then look in verse 27. And they came to Elim, where 12 wells of water were, and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the what? Waters. Did God meet their needs? Sure did. But God declares himself as the God of healing. He's the God that heals us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Now, how does God heal? Well, he heals by his word. He sent his word and healed them. You know, by his word, he made the heavens and the earth. By the word, he made man. And man is made, our bodies are made, so that our bodies heal themselves. You know, how fantastic is that? Could you imagine if your car did that? But our bodies are continually healing themselves because that's the way God made our bodies to be. And even though our bodies are imperfect because of what Adam did, we still see that divine design in our bodies. How fantastic it is. In Proverbs, there's a number of references. Proverbs, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3. Number of references to the healing nature of God's word. We read this morning, trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It, this wonderful word of God, shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy, what, bones. You know, I guess marrow of the bones is where blood is made so that your life is renewed. See, God's word is healing. It's health to us. Later on in this wonderful third chapter in verse 21, it says, my son, let not them, the words of God, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy, what, neck. You remember we saw in our opening session that God breathed his word. He put his very life into the word. Well, God's word has its life, God's life in it. And so it's life to us, and that life is healing. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their," what? "Flesh." Now, just logically thinking, if God's word heals, if God's word is life, if God's word replenishes us, if God's word is what we've just read it to be, then what happens when people stay away from God's word? You know, what happens when people neglect God's word, or even worse, reject God's word? Well, you know, maybe the consequences aren't immediately shown, but if I'm reading my Bible right, we need the word for good health. We need the word for life. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out. In other words, for man to live, he really needs the word. Right? It's a necessity. You know, it's not just some option, you know, some religious option that you could get to on Sunday afternoon. It's life. It's health. It's a necessity. Look at Proverbs 12. It says in verse 18, "There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword," and that's not good. You know, there are words that can hurt. You know, words that pierce like a sword. You know, sometimes words that people speak can bring bigger hurt to your life than if they came up and punched you in the nose. You know, words can have devastating impact if they're used wrongly. It says, "There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is" what? "Health." It's healing. You know, brings health to the one that hears it. Look at the next chapter, Proverbs 13, in verse... Well, I don't think I wrote this verse down right. It's in here. It says that a faithful ambassador... Where is that? A faithful ambassador is healing. Well, it's in 17. I had 7. Verse 17, "A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is" what? "Health." It's healing. You know, when you speak God's word to another individual, you're making healing available. You're making health available to them. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Says in verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of" a what? "Sound mind." The word "sound mind" could also be rendered "whole thoughts." You know, God's word is whole. It brings whole thoughts. In other words, healthy thoughts, you know, that are not lacking, that don't have consequence to them or residue associated with. Whole thoughts. There's a wonderful minister, a wonderful woman that we've known for many years who lives in the Reno area of Nevada, and she works as a Christian counselor and psychologist. It's helped many, many people get deliverance from the word and from counseling. And but she turned us on to a doctor that is practicing in South Africa, a woman named Dr. Leaf. And she's been doing research, and it's in conjunction with other researchers all over the world. In fact, some of them are at Harvard and other universities in the United States. But they're neuroscientists that are basically tracking the effect that thoughts have on the human body, specifically on the brain. And she's been publishing works that show how when people think what she calls toxic thoughts, you know, thoughts of frustration, anger, thoughts of hatred or other human emotions, things that certainly are not sound thoughts, that it actually results in the deterioration of the brain and results also in a triggering of a genetic code, the person's genes, that produces ill health in their body. And they've started to document this. There's also documented this doctor is a Christian, and she's also done research about what happens when people think what the Bible says. And they've been able to demonstrate that thinking the thoughts of the Bible that result in thoughts of peace, of thoughts of joy and happiness, thoughts like we've had this week, that it actually replenishes those brain cells, and it also retards the negative trigger of the DNA that produces sickness and ill health. Now, this is a study, and this is a branch of science that is budding, that is new. But, you know, if any of you are interested, she's written some books, and it's very fascinating work. But really, what happens when science starts getting on the right track instead of on the wrong tracks that science can go, what they do is they come and they start to discover things that we already know from God's Word. Like we've been reading, that God's Word is healing. You know, that we can think whole, thoughts that don't have consequence or residue, thoughts that replenish our physical bodies. How terrific is that? Look at 3 John. You know, God is a God of healing, as we've seen. And I believe that the greatest healing that anybody can ever receive until the gathering together is the new birth. And I think that's without question if you stop and consider it. Talk about becoming whole, up to that time being simply body and soul, and now becoming body, soul, and spirit. And in a moment's time, getting eternal life. Talk about the greatest healing that there is. Well, we here have received it. You know, we are beneficiaries of the greatest healing that you can possibly have because you have Holy Spirit. Regardless of what the outcome is in this life, in the next, we'll be in perfection. You know, we'll have perfect bodies and perfect minds. You know, the new birth is the token of all that inheritance that we'll receive at the time of the gathering together. But there certainly are other great healings that we observe in this life besides people getting born again. In my life, I've seen many miraculous healings. I've also seen a lot of just what I think Carol and I would call just everyday kind of healings, particularly in raising 4 boys. You know, people getting owies, people getting, you know, stuff happening, brothers hitting each over the heads with sticks and, you know, what it's like to raise kids. But one thing that our sons learn is come to daddy or mommy and daddy, mommy, and pray for you, and they get better, get healed up. I think it was, I don't know if it was Samuel or Joy, I can't remember, but I remember one of them slammed their finger in the car door, and I was stuck in there, and I could see the finger just, you know, they could see, they're inside the window. I was outside, they're screaming. And I opened the door and I prayed. And all of a sudden, they stopped crying. And then they were walking around for the next couple hours going, God healed my finger. God healed my finger. Just, you know, it's part of being a parent, isn't it? I mean, it's what happened. You raise your kids. But, you know, look at what it says in 3 John, a very familiar verse, but you talk about great promise of God to appropriate by believing. Verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy, what? Soul prospers. Now, I don't know if you've all done this, but I would say that that's a verse worth retimerizing, having at your beck and call as needed, to be reminded, you know, when, say, financial pressure might come up, which is comes up in our society, in our lives, and certainly when health issues come up. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. You know, that's God's will. That's God's desire. You know what the best thing in light of health and healing is? It's to stay in good health. You know, to be healthy. You know, I know that many believers, all of us, like to see the miraculous in life. We like to see deliverance. But, you know, to start with, it's better if the person doesn't need that deliverance. You know, to stay in good health. That's God's will. Now, do we all do that perfectly? Do we all achieve? No. And by the way, these bodies ain't going to last forever. You know, I've sort of been thinking, I don't know, maybe some of you are equal age to me, could say, there is a certain point where you start to feel like maybe the warranty's starting to wear out a little bit. You know, it's, you know how they used to be with cars, they'd get to 80 or 90,000 and everything break, and, you know. You know, the body's not going to last forever. But, you know, you stay in good health. And then when you fall out of good health at times, well, God is so wonderful that he makes available a, really a multitude of different ways to get healed. I believe that, you know, next to seeing the new birth, that the greatest healings I've ever seen is when people start getting into the Word and the Word gets into them and they really start seeing the Word. You know, sometimes it's through classes, sometimes it's through camps, sometimes it's through other means by which people can really get a good old dose of God's Word. You know, and at the end of a period of a week or two or 3 weeks or whatever it might be, all of a sudden that individual's been changed. You know, it's like they don't even look like the same person. You know, when Carol and I spent a year in Sacramento, and we had a bunch of guys from the military that came to our house to take some Bible classes, and we were running a Bible class for them, and this one guy was coming to the class just simply because he wanted to get off base. You know, he was in the military, he wanted to get off base, and he could come to this class. He was, did not seem particularly interested in the Bible or Jesus Christ or anything. He did seem a little interested in some of the girls that were there. But the guy was actually, he was a Muslim. He was from a Muslim background. But one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen, I was sitting in the front of this class as the class was being taught, and in the session where the teaching concerned the new birth, this guy changed before my eyes. He accepted Christ. And I just remember his countenance changed just like that. And then for the rest of the class, this guy was just lit. I mean, he was just a different guy. I mean, he had the love of God in him, and he was just a different guy. I mean, this was 30-plus years ago. I don't know whatever happened to him, but I know one thing, is that was the most significant occasion in his life. You know, he received eternal life, and man, you know, just to be a part of that process, how great is that? But, you know, we could go, if we were the type of ministry that wanted to, you know, give our testimonies or something, we could talk about this all night, about, you know, the things that we have seen, the people who've been changed by God's Word, the people who've been healed. And God sends his Word and heals, and the Word is continually here for us to feed upon and be blessed and stay in good health. And then as you fall out of good health, you can bring the Word to mind, and that Word brings healing to your body. But there's certainly other wonderful means. God has given us Holy Communion. Holy Communion is such a tremendous way of just realizing and remembering what Christ has accomplished. By His stripes, we were what? Healed. Eating health to your body as you receive the bread. How about the medical arts? I mean, there's medical people in here at our camp. Praise God for the medical arts. I mean, I had a situation come up, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed me these two little pills, and I took these two little pills, and you know what? They worked. I mean, I normally don't take pills, but I took these pills, and they worked. How about it's like when you get a headache and then take an aspirin, the aspirin goes away. No, the headache goes away. That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? You take it. But the medical arts are fantastic, and thank God for them. And they're, as we're seeing in our, they're very diverse. There's, naturopathic stuff, and there's, the AMA does wonderful things, and there's chiropractic, other stuff, and praise God for it. It's all part of God's plan. A lot of the medical arts are based on the herbs and things that God put into nature. And have developed, the whole medicine side has come from that. And then certainly a wonderful means of healing is prayer. If a person has a need, is get with another believer, or just as your child of God, go to God and pray. Pray for those that are sick. If you're not feeling well, get somebody to pray with you. And then certainly one of the manifestations is very, very terrific in light of healing, and that's gifts of healings. We saw this morning that every one of us can operate the nine manifestations. Some of us perhaps have more experience in operating some of them than we do in others. For some people in the body of Christ, particular manifestations can be a real long suit, something they're really good at. I know Dr. Rural learned a lot about the healing ministry from a man named Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts had a tremendous long suit in healing. In fact, he would fill up great stadiums in the United States, and people would come, and he would minister for hours and minister healing to people, and people would receive great healing. But gifts of healings is another means by which people can receive deliverance. God has given us all of these means so that we can be healed and that we can stay in good health. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Whenever you believe God's word, it's the power of God unto deliverance. You get that word of God, the promise, the word of God, whatever it might pertain to your particular situation, and then you simply believe it. There's a wonderful record here in Matthew chapter 8. It says in verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." These are some of the words that are easy to kind of read through quickly when you're reading the Bible. But just think of that servant. He's lying at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. That's it'd be very, very difficult to be in that situation. And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and what? Heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority." The centurion had at least 100 men under his command, and he was a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he, what? Goes. And to another, come, and he comes. This is a pretty good definition of what it's like to be in the military, right? I tell you what to do, and you better do it. "And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, verily, I say to you, I have not found so great faith or so great believing, no, not in Israel. You know, when Jesus Christ heard this man's response, what did he do? He marveled. You know, there's only two places in the Gospels where Jesus Christ marveled. This is one of them. The other was when he marveled at people's unbelief. Here he's marveling at his believing. The other, he marveled at their unbelief. Gives you an idea of what Jesus Christ was observing. What he was looking for was believing. Because it's absolutely essential to receiving from God. In verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This was a man who understood the power of words. He understood what it was to believe. And as a result, his servant received his healing. Look at Mark chapter 9. This is a record of a man whose son had what we would call seizures. The seizures were so violent that it would oftentimes even throw him into the fire and cause the child great harm. Teared and you know, gnasheth with his teeth, and it was just, you know, an awful situation. So the man brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples tried to help this man cast out the spirit, and they couldn't do it. And, you know, the boy stayed with his spiritual problem. So the man comes to Jesus, and right as he comes, the son has what we call an epileptic seizure right in front of Jesus. You know, now, if that happened to you, what do you think you might do? You think you might get down on knee, make sure it doesn't swallow his tongue, or, you know, maybe call 911 or whatever, you know? You know what Jesus does? He turns to the man and he says, How long has this been going on? And the man says, Since infancy, since he was an infant. And in that, Jesus Christ nails the problem, because the child had this problem since birth. It's not a result of the child's lack of believing or the child having caused it. So Jesus Christ knows to minister to the Father, and that's exactly what he does. And it says, well, we'll read in verse 21, he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, or since infancy. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can't do anything, have compassion on us, and what? Help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, the man said, If you can help us. Jesus Christ turned that little if right around to the man and said, If you believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine, what? Unbelief. You know, this phrase, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, is a wonderful phrase to consider in light of gifts of healing. You know, we believe God's word. You know, we know that God can heal us. But all of us at times need help in believing. You know, all of us at times need help by being ministered to. So this man prayed, You know, Lord, I believe, help thou mine, what? Unbelief. And Jesus Christ did, and he ministered to the man, to the child, cast the spirit out, and the young boy was delivered. Now, you know, again, how fantastic is that? What's that worth? I mean, to have a child that's had all these problems his whole life and now is delivered. But it was brought about by simply believing. And we know that each one of us are believers. Lord, I believe. I believe your word. Sometimes I need help, Lord. And when you need help, you can go to another believer and get that help.